Shavuos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet, 4-4. Now, as I mentioned back in the beginning of the Perek, one of the essential ingredients to be liable for Shavuos HaEdus is that one's testimony that he swore he didn't have to give and then, you know, insists in the court by denying his what to say, has to be the reason why, or the ostensible reason why, the plaintiff isn't able to claim. If the plaintiff wouldn't have been able to claim, even if he would have testified, like, let's say, for example, testimony is unacceptable because he's a Rasha or a Karov or whatever, or a Puzzle, or if, let's say, there's just one of witness to go around, and therefore, even if the witness does testify, it doesn't help the plaintiff to collect. The plaintiff can't collect based on, you know, testimony of one witness. So then, since the oath that he doesn't have testimony to deliver didn't slam the door shut on the plaintiff collecting, one wouldn't be liable for an Olav Yovid. So, that being the case, the Mishnah speaks it out, that, you know, explores the possibilities. If kafru shnehen ka'achas, you need to have two witnesses, of course, to collect, because two witnesses establish a halachic fact. So if both of them in court together repudiate having any relevant testimony to give. Ka'achas together actually means within the space of toch kadei dibor. That's always like sort of the gap, the time span that's considered a single instance, kind of like the quantum of halachic events. Meaning if Mr. A says amen and Mr. B says amen within 2 seconds of Mr. A, or they both say I swear, whatever the story is. So then if they're both speaking within toch kadei dibor of each other, they're considered to be halachically one and the same time. So then shneihen chayavin. Both of them will be liable for being Olav Yovid if they're lying, because the two of them together slam the door shut on the plaintiff of ever collecting his claim. But if it's bezeh achar zeh, if first witness A says, I swear I have no testimony to give, I'm sorry, and then after that, more than toch kadei dibor, 2 seconds later, witness B says, I swear I have no testimony to give, so then harishon chayev, just the first witness will be liable, because he's the one who slammed the door. Before he said he had nothing to give, there were two witnesses ostensibly, but now that he says, I have no testimony, I swear, he slams the door shut, even if the second witness that would testify, the plaintiff still couldn't collect his claim. So therefore, the second one by himself couldn't do it, and therefore the second one, Hasheni Pater, he'll be exempt from bringing an Olav Yorit. I just want to speak out here again, sort of a parenthetical point, which is that if a person has one witness coming to support his claim, that's a lot better than nothing. If a person can bring one witness to the Beis Din, that would then force the defendant to take a shvua, to swear that he doesn't owe the money. It's called a Shavuos Eid Echad, and we'll see that in Shavuos L'Dayanim in a couple prakim away. But the point is that unless the defendant is prepared to essentially hold a Sefer Torah and swear, as much as I believe that Hashem wrote the Torah and Hashem is real, I believe I don't owe you the money, if he's not prepared to make that kind of heavy-duty Shavuah, so then he'll be forced to pay the plaintiff. So you see, one witness is worth a lot. But nevertheless, it's definitely not a slam dunk. Once you have one witness, anything could happen, and indeed the defendant could stick to his guns and deny he owes the money. And that being the case, once you've lost two witnesses, it's the first witness of the two who says, I'm not delivering testimony, who slams the door shut. He's the one liable for the Olav Yorid, the second one, not so. Okay, fine. Says the Mishnah further, Kafar Echad Vahoda Echad, if one denies having information, and one says he does, he admits he does have information, then Hakofer Chayav, the one who denied, is on the hook. For the Olav Yorid, this really sounds like the same case as before. The difference here, says the Gemara, brings in Okimta, the Pshat of the Mishnah is, even if both of them simultaneously, you know, Toch De Dibor, they say, we swear we have nothing to testify about, but then one of them is Chozer, Toch Kadei Dibor. He says, within the same breath of him saying he has done, he says, oh, I remember. So since within Toch Kadei Dibor you actually can be Chozer and Magad, you can overwrite, you know, restate, recant of what you said before. Therefore, it'll turn out that although both said at the same time, we swear we have nothing to say, but since one of them said, oh no, I do, so then ultimately it was just the one who didn't say, oh no, I do, he's the one who slammed the door and he'll be liable, whereas the other one who said, oh yes, I remember, I could say something, he is not liable to Olav Yorid. So you see, that is obviously Mechudash, and that's the case of the Mishnah here. Okay, next case the Mishnah is, Hayushte Kite Edim. What if you have two sets of witnesses, and either set, both sets have testimony to deliver, which would support the claim of the plaintiff? So then, Kapra harishona, if the first group says, we swear we have nothing to testify about, so the achar kach kafra shnia, and then the second group says, we also have nothing to swear about, the two of them say that, we swear, so then shtein chayavos, then both of them will be liable. Because either one of the two groups of witnesses could have been the one who would, confirm the claim of the plaintiff and allow him to collect. Now the Gemara asks, wait a second. If you have two groups of witnesses, so when the first group says, we swear have nothing to say, they haven't slammed the door shut on the claim of the plaintiff, because he can just turn to the second set of witnesses. So says the Gemara, it makes an ukimta setup, which is kind of unusual. It says the situation is that at the time that the first pair of witnesses testify, the second pair of witnesses are not able to testify. There's some I'll call temporary psul. Like, for example, the two witnesses are married to two sisters. So since their wives are sisters, they're considered krovim, they're not valid for giving testimony. So when the first group testified that we swore we have nothing to say, they were the only shot that the plaintiff had. So their false oath is what slammed the door shut on him collecting, therefore they're potentially on the hook for the olav yored of Shavuos Eidus. If then the second group, one of their two wives die, so now they stop being krovim relatives, they become now kasher for Eidus, and they could testify, again, if they also then say, well, we swear them to say also, again, they could be on the hook as well. So that is the setup of the Mishnah. Obviously, implicit in that is the question that you want to ask, which is, wait a second, what if there are three witnesses? How does this work? So the answer is, if the first of the witnesses swears that he has nothing to say, so you have two witnesses left. And those two witnesses, they're the two witnesses of our Mishnah in the first case. So if they swear together, they can be liable. If one swears, the second one swears, and the third one swears, so then it's only the second one, like the penultimate, the one before the end, he's the one who slammed the door shut on this claim. And therefore, he'd be the one who'd be liable for the olav yored.